this song in some way or another, or at least a portion, and I found a loophole. We'll use it as a title. I believe we are to preach from the Word of God, of course, but I want to use this in Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm the one that requested it. It says that we will shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now for our text, please turn with me to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, read verses 17 through 20. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be the glorious name forever, his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then it says, as our text, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Truly, I feel that we oftentimes do not cherish the opportunity we have to speak unto our God through the word of prayer. We take it, I fear, for granted that we who are God's children must understand that one day, even though it will probably even be greater a blessing, we'll be with our Lord. But we have been given and taught throughout all the Word of God the importance of prayer. Now, I've always come to the point or the understanding in my own heart that the Lord does not need our prayers. We need to pray to Him. The Bible says he knows what we need even before we ask. He who is sovereign, he who is holy, is in heaven this very hour making intercession for us, for we fail him daily. Truly, as a child of God, how we are blessed. We are able to preach. The key thought that I want to leave you with tonight is that we should start from this very hour offering our prayers as if they were the last that we would ever present to our God. I also thought that we are reminded that many times what is in that prayer. Maybe it's the one that we, before we lay our head upon the pillow, or when we rise in the morning, giving praise unto our God for another night of rest for the weary. Truly is it important, was it for those that we love, that we pray for their souls and the intervention of the Holy Spirit through the glorious gospel of Christ that they might hear and that they might believe? Or are our prayers those of greed? Now, people say that's harsh. But oftentimes, the only time we make time for prayer is when we go to our Lord and say, I need this. I need a bigger car, a bigger house, more money. I want this or that. And we do not pray for the lost. We do not seek our Lord's will. We oftentimes, and more times than not, do not say, not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. And that we serve him. Truly in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun.
Now I'm going to stop right there. There's time enough. We have no excuse that we can give unto our God for not praying. We have time for television. We have time for ball games. We have time for this or that. We have time to go fishing and go hunting. We have time to do so many things, but we don't make time for prayer. We ought to make ourselves available for those who stand in need of prayer. When was the last time that you ever told someone, if you need something, call me and I'll pray with you? How many times have you come to church and you thought to yourself, that brother or that sister didn't act exactly right. They have something on their mind. It may be a sickness or an illness. It may be a sorrow. It may be because they just had a spat with their children. And all that you did was invite them to the house of God and to hear the young people sing, to hear the word of God preached. There's a season for everything, and the time that we should set aside for to pray unto our God is now. Not tomorrow, not next week. We should start this very hour. Now we offer our prayers up. You know the people that are assembled here tonight. There may be one that now you know that has not made a profession of faith. In your prayers at home, pray for their soul, that the Lord would intervene and save their soul. Truly, we must pray and not have fear. We have blessed assurance that He has promised that He will hear and that He will answer our prayer. That is the reason we say, not my will, but thine be done, for we must accept His will in all of these things. Pray not, I fear that the sounds of our prayers are getting very quiet. There's a great silence, and it's almost as if it's deafening for the lack of prayers. You realize in the Word of God, this is called the house of prayer. This has been set aside, yes, to come and to worship and have sweet fellowship one with another, but it's a house of prayer. When you enter the door of the house of God, it may have been a terrible day, but leave it outside. That the Lord will uplift you. That He will give you strength. He will give you that assurance of the knowledge and the wisdom. Oh, there is a season like no other, oh child of God. There is no better time in your life than right now. That if you have a burden, that you would share it with the Lord, knowing He is able to do all things after the counsel of His own will. Then I thought of prayer as the Lord was leading me. How silent it is. How silent it is, the prayers that we are to offer. You know, one of our greatest failings, and I may have mentioned this here before because I believe it with all my heart. One of our greatest failings, the Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church, is that we don't call the elders together. You know, it teaches in the Word of God, if you have a great burden upon your heart, call the elders together. And have them pray over the matter. That's what they're here for. And if you have a need of great prayer, an overwhelming burden, let me give you a little advice. Call your pastor. Having to pray for you and for the event, whatever it may be, that is going on in your life. I also would tell you that you should likewise call the pastor and say, listen, if you don't have a key to the door, say, Pastor, I need to go to the church. I need to pray. Because everywhere I go, at home or at work, there's noise. I need quiet. I want to talk to my Lord. And I want to offer this great tribulation. You know, people say, that's Old Testament. Hey, we have tribulation today. We have things and burdens in our heart that would weigh us down. In all truth, we're no different than they were back in those days. We need our Lord. We need to talk to Him. You know, I always thought, could you imagine to stand before that burning bush and hear the voice of God as He spoke to Moses? Oh, what a blessing for the child of God. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, and verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. The answer that we stand in need of tonight is written in this passage of Scripture. He says, all this evil is come upon us. Beloved, we live in a wicked world. Evilness is around us on every corner. Beloved, the day of the Lord is at hand. But as long as His church is here, His beloved children, those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, are walking this earth, we are to preach the gospel unto a lost and a dying world and pray for the lost. Amen. That the Lord would intervene in their life. We witness all the evil around us, yet we'll shake our heads. We may walk away, but we don't pray for their souls. Even the most wicked man that you ever come in contact with. You know we're supposed to pray for our president? He's murdering babies every day. And on and on. And I'm not going to get into politics. But I know a sin when the Bible says it's sin. And we need to preach it. Truly, we are blessed. With all the evil that is around us, we don't seek God. You know, oftentimes, He's the last resort. And He should be first and foremost. As we tackle any of the world's abominable acts. And any burden that lies upon our heart. We must, as pastors, as men of God, yea, even the ladies of the church, you can be great prayer warriors. You pray for your pastor. You pray for your song leader. You pray for those who come to worship. You pray for the empty seats. For those who are not here even this night, that had not the desire upon their heart to be in the house of God and to be away from the world, for to come to worship and give praise unto our God. There's so much evil that around us. He says, we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities. Now there's every once in a while, we're willing to pray for everybody else. We're willing to pray for pointing our finger at everybody else. But the old saying goes, I heard many years ago, when you point your finger at somebody else, there's at least three more coming back at you. Do you pray for yourself? Lord, I have this thing in my life, whatever it may be. It may be because you don't pray. Or you don't read in your Bible every day. You know, I read in my Bible and I was leafing through it and I found this verse of scripture in Psalm 72 and I said, his prayer's ended. This is the man that God used to write the vast majority of Psalms, which is song. He wrote or penned many prayers for the people and those that he loved. He was called to serve. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Now we must understand, they have not sought the Lord in prayer. You know, we're human. Greet your pastor. Ask him how things are going. Do you need anything? What can I do? And I assure you, he will tell you, pray. Pray for the lost. I haven't had the best day today. But we're going to have church. See, we're blessed. And we must serve our God. See here, they said they didn't seek the Lord. I eventually say that probably, as the old saying goes, when he sunk so deep that he was clear up to his eyes or his chin, then he began to pray. Many times we're too proud. But we ought to pray. We're sinners saved by grace and the love of our God. It says the flocks do not prosper. You know, the pastor prays that they would be bid to come in through the highways and the byway. He goes and visits those who are not able to come to church. He prays for them. But let me tell you, if things aren't going just exactly the way that you think they ought to be, you'll say, Lord, you either open my eyes or you lead the pastor. Open his eyes. There's nothing wrong with that. We pray one for another as God's children. And then they're scattered. You know, we're heartbroken when you hear one of the Lord's churches has closed the door. The Lord willing, here I think it's the 23rd, they're going to organize a new church. Instead of two or three dying out, I've got a message ready. The Lord willing, if I'm able to go and preach for them, it's the church in the wilderness. There's a great wilderness out there outside the doors. This church, even though it has blessed this community, is in the midst of those who would do harm to the house of prayer and the house of worship if they're given the opportunity. Truly we are blessed. They are scattered. We allow foolish things to enter into our hearts, tempted of Satan, to walk out the door and not come back because of pride and an unrepentant heart for the things that we do. It's easier to point the finger at the other guy than it is to accept responsibility and say, Lord, what can I do with a willing heart? In the book of James, chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where the envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There's a lot of confusion among people. People are getting together and uniting together under the banner of religion that are not preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not preaching the church truth. They are not teaching the all things. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and then teach them. And don't go looking for someone to tickle your ears. How dare that preacher get up and say, I ought to pray in morning and at noon and at night. I didn't. The Word of God does. We must unite together. We must be the family of God. You must realize that you are planted here in this house of worship. By the divine purpose of Almighty God, you were drawn to this place, however the Lord worked. You were invited here. You heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit done a great work, and your soul was saved. All because, if you will, someone had a burden and someone prayed for your soul. Now we know the sovereignty of God and he's able to do all things. But we have responsibilities. See, it's a double blessing. When was the last time you wept when you prayed? Do you realize there's grown up adults who have grown up children, and they don't go to their closet and they don't enter in and lock the door and pray till the floor is wet with tears for their child is lost and dying and going to hell. What is wrong with us? There's empty seats in every house of worship in all the world. It's not 100% attendance. Now I know there's sickness and there's providentially hindered and there's all of those things. But you know, if you've got an ache or a pain, now if you're contagious and it's serious, and stay at home. But if you've got an ache or a pain, that's going to ache and pain when you're in a recliner at home or if you're sitting in the house of God. Where you can come and say, Lord, I've got a pain in my neck. And don't call it Rex. Give me the grace that I'll be able to stay for the whole service. You know, you should have been praying that all the way from the time you got out of your chair and you got in your car and you were driving here. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I tell you what I do. When I go visit somewhere, and especially when I was a traveling preacher, I'd go all over the place and preach. From northern Ohio to here and there, West Virginia, and wherever. When I got back home, when you pull off the highway there on Route 23, it goes thump, thump, the car does. And when I hear that thump, I say, praise the Lord. It's that important. Prayer is essential. Yeah, the government's essential everything or whatever benefits their pocketbook. But it's essential. It's important. There's no getting around it, the fact that we need to pray as a child of God. Every sincere prayer is time that is spent not upon the fleshly things that rule this earth. Understand that. We only got so much mind to go around, some of us less than others. But we must understand that when we're singing, test yourself. When you're singing truly from the heart, your things are not upon the things of the flesh. When you're in prayer, your heart is upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Heavenly Father. And the Lord in heaven, at the foot of the Heavenly Father, making intercession, saying, lay not that sin to their charge. But there's nothing wrong. You know, it's one thing to have prayer. It's another thing to know you need prayer. And we need to pray one for another. We need to pay for ourselves. We need to pray for our churches. You know, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I spent in the last, well, it'd be 49 years or 50 in February. I've been a member of the Lord's churches. King's Edition in Midland, that's it. I'm not one of them drifters. But I've been blessed that all them 50 years, I had no desire to revolt and to go in a different direction. Only the Lord called me and placed me. So you need to be sure of such things. In James chapter 5, I may have touched upon this a while ago. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go ahead and go to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not out from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now here is a widow whom the Lord had given, if you will, a special calling. Now, I know the times and there's slight differences. But I believe what she accomplished by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God can be done today. You can be here, ladies, girls. You can be a great prayer warrior, praying for your husbands, your children, your pastor, your church. All those things which work in your life. But she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. It wasn't a 9-to-5 job. She was there for a purpose. And you're here for a purpose. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, you know in whom you have believed and are persuaded he is able to keep that which he has committed unto you against that day. Oh, you should pray for the lost. When you got them on the phone, invite them to church. Tell them what a wonderful time that you had hearing the word of God. Oh, the music, almost heavenly, from the young children here at this church. Why do we not give praise unto our God? Here is a woman who was called a servant of the Most High God. It is our prayer that you will be such a servant, that you will pray day and night for those who stand in need of prayer and give them strength. You know, many of us can't stay. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the earlier I, a lot of times, go to bed. But make time for prayer. Make time that the Lord will hear you and that he has answered your prayer. Do you ever have a prayer that you prayed and when you got up, and you know, we don't get on our knees anymore, we don't weep anymore, there's so much we don't do, that you got up and you know the Lord heard your prayer. And you knew that he answered your prayer. Think about that. He answered your prayer. That moment. Because I believe as the sincerity of our heart, and we're praying not in our will, but the will of God. And if you don't get it right the first time, pray again tomorrow. When you put your feet upon the floor, do you ever say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. And then you go in the other room and you pray even more. Many would say we're asking too much. But I believe by the authority of the Word of God, it is not too much to serve our God who has done all these things that we might have eternal life. He has given us life when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You think about it. We were dead. We were lost. Without hope. But you never gave up. You continued to pray. And you left it in the will of the Lord and what he would do. There are many who carry great burdens. There's many who do not like the word fasting. But it may be high time that we consider it. That maybe if all that you can do, it's when you get up, and I believe that's when you, the farthest gap of when you eat and when you haven't eaten. Did you take time to pray before you start your day? Because then you, I do this, and then I do the dishes, and then I go to work, and I got it, you know, oh my. You think I set the alarm clock 5 minutes early so I'll have time to pray. And then you'll slow down a little and use up that time. We ought to put a signs on our computer. Take a felt marker and write it upon your phone. It's time to pray. If we prayed half as much as we fooled with them phones, oh, we'd have a great prayer life. We see great things that are done that no one might ever know outside our Lord, that it's because of our prayers that we're answered. And then we're thankful and we're blessed in all of these things. truly what a wonderful blessing for the child of God, in that we serve a holy God who's able to do all things. Turn with me now to the book of Micah. Micah. I'm going the wrong direction. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. There we go. I'm about due for a new Bible. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? See, we're blessed. Oh, how we should pray. This flesh gets out of control far too often. We leave the door open instead of filling it with prayers and seeking the will of our God. Truly, what a blessing that we might serve our God, that we might follow after Him. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and verses 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It says, brethren. My brothers, my sisters in Christ, who have been bound together by love's strong cord, we like to sing. My heart's desire and prayer to God. Have you ever sweat from your prayers? Have you had a desire upon your heart that you couldn't get away from? Now, I come to the opinion that if you're busy during the day and you're working hard and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and it's a part of life, that all of a sudden someone's name comes to your mind. Beloved, we have a little thing that's called the Holy Spirit of God that has at that moment laid upon your heart. They have a need, and you ought to pray. Now, you don't have to get down on your knees and, at work or this or that. You can say, Lord, have your watch care over. And thank you, Lord, I'll call them when I get a break or when I get home. See, prayer is a mighty thing upon the lips of the child of God. We ought to pray much for a lost and a dying world. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel. What about this community? How many cars will you pass going home? A dozen? Two dozen? How many cars have you passed this week out on the road and the highways and the byways that do not attend church anymore? During my generation, the The parents got up every Sunday morning. They got their go-to-meeting clothes on, and they went to the house. They took their children and got them all dressed up, and they went to church. And then the next generation, the parents would get them up, and they'd have their cup of coffee sitting there, and they would get them all fixed up, drive them to the church, drop them off, go home, and drink their coffee. We have a generation now that's coming up, and I praise God for every one of these young people, that the parents don't even care enough to get them up on Sunday morning and take them to church. They're too busy. I'm too tired. I've outgrown it. But our desire should be for those little ones, that the Lord would intervene, that he would lay upon the heart, that he would put such a burden upon the shoulders of the and the hearts of those mothers and fathers that they can do nothing but come to the house of God to satisfy the will of Almighty God. And they hear the gospel, and they trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. See, the Lord works in ways that we do not understand. But oh, pray that these great testimony of these young people, as they get up and they sing praises unto our God, it is like a sweet prayer. I'll tell you one thing, it's an answer to prayer and the preaching of the gospel. Now we want to ask you your last prayer. What shall it be about? Will we get home and go through the same motions? Will we go home with a new insight, a better understanding, and a higher calling from Almighty God by his preached word? Now, it's not Rex Smith saying these things. I've given you lots of scripture. I've had people tell me you use too much scripture. I said, I don't want them to believe what I believe anyway. I want them to believe what the word of God says. You got to go home and fight with the Bible if you want to do otherwise. Because you've been given scripture. Your last prayer, whatever it may be to start you out of praying, and sometimes we need a jump start. Whether it be yesterday, today, or maybe tomorrow, let us determine that our prayers will be sincere, full of belief, and full of faith. And that we know he hears when we call. Truly, we must, in the presence of the Lord, give great thanks. You're blessed. You have quite a few people here. I've known churches that have 3 or 4 people. They can't call a pastor because they can't give him anything. So they thank. And they give up. You know, you have a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift from Almighty God here. Pray for your sister churches in this community. There's enough grace to go around. The grace of Almighty God. Then we must trust in the Lord in all these things. When was the last time you knew in your heart that the Lord heard you? Now you think about that. That you were so sincere and you had such a burden upon your heart that you knew the Lord heard. And he's going to answer your prayer. Beloved, we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the noise of this world. I remember a time at work when they had the biggest transformer that fed the whole brickyard. It blew up. And I was sitting at my workstation, and when that thing blew up and everything went out, the lights and the machines and You could hear a big whoom, and it was silence. Beloved, Satan will do anything and everything within his power that the Almighty God will allow him to do to take away from you your prayer, your prayer life. Believe me, he will do it. And it's easy, just like coming to church. It's easy to miss the first time. The second time it's easier. The third time it's easier. And eventually you just don't care. It doesn't enter your mind anymore. We pray that we will never doubt. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Because, see, we must maintain. We must pray often. We must read in the Word of God. We must be assured of those things which we know to be true so often in the Word of God. And we must be ready always to give unto a lost and a dying world the reason of the hope that lies within our hearts. There's not a one in here, I don't care what your education is or is not. I don't care what your walk in this life is. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb of God and you confessed your sins before a holy God and he has forgiven your sins and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your soul and all your life, then, beloved, you shouldn't have any doubt. We should be, as we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's my all. And my all. I want to read again in Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 17. His name. Sure, I got the right place. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun and the men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayer of David, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let us make sure we're prayed up. That it may be the last time you attend church services. We don't know. We've seen an abominable death toll strike the world. People say, why would a God who's a God of love allow such things? That's for him to know. And we leave it in his hand and we trust in him. I wonder if tomorrow you get a phone call and a brother or sister have passed. Oh, that the prayers that we offer, it may be the last. What did he pray? What did he pray? What is the prayer before we come to these services tonight? First of all, did you pray? This whole livelong day that you had until 7 o'clock this evening, did you have time for one prayer? And before you leave, or you play your head upon your pillow, what will be your prayer? But beloved, remember, it may be your last.